Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines is Wednesday, August the 6th. On the 80th anniversary of the bombing of Hiroshima, Pope Leo condemns the illusion of security created by nuclear weapons. Concern intensifies over the fate of an Irish missionary and eight other people, including a child who have been kidnapped by gunmen in Haiti. And in his catechesis at the weekly general audience, Pope Leo invites the faithful to reflect on the mystery of the passion, death and resurrection of Jesus. In the Vatican, I'm Joseph Tullock. Pope Leo XIV today marked the 80th anniversary of the atomic bombing of Hiroshima and criticised the illusion of security created by the global nuclear deterrent system. As Linda Bordoni reports, speaking during his weekly general audience, the Pope said that the bombing of the Japanese city should serve as a universal warning against the devastation caused by nuclear weapons.
78,000 people were killed instantly when the United States dropped the first atomic bomb on the Japanese city of Hiroshima in the morning of the 6th of August 1945. The explosion literally disintegrated people, animals, buildings and land. Another 140,000 perished by the end of the year, and decades on, the effects of radiation plague new generations. 3 days later, it was to be the turn of Nagasaki, where an estimated 40,000 people died initially and another 100,000 within 5 years. Marking the anniversaries, the first American-born pope said, "I hope that in the contemporary world marked by strong tensions and bloody conflicts,
auspico che nel mondo contemporaneo segnato da forti tensioni e sanguinosi conflitti,
the illusory security based on the threat of mutual destruction will give way to the practice of dialogue.
Ceda il passo agli strumenti della giustizia."
He had words of solidarity and prayers for those who have suffered the consequences of nuclear warfare and reiterated the Catholic Church's commitment to oppose nuclear weapons, expressing his hope in justice, open dialogue and trust in fraternity.
Alla fiducia nella fraternità.
His appeal comes in the wake of a message the day before to the Bishop of Hiroshima, who read it during the celebration of Mass for Peace in the city. In that message, Pope Leo decried nuclear arms that, he said, offend our shared humanity and betray the dignity of creation whose harmony we are called to safeguard. And recalling the reiterated appeal of his predecessor, Pope Francis, a champion of nuclear disarmament, who described the mere possession of nuclear weapons as immoral, he noted that true peace demands the courageous laying down of weapons, especially those with the power to cause an indescribable catastrophe. I'm Linda Bordoni.
And earlier today, the Hiroshima Peace Memorial Park in Japan held its annual remembrance ceremony with representatives from 120 countries in attendance. A moment of silence was observed at 8:15 a.m, which is the exact time of the bombing 80 years ago. Among those attending were a delegation of U.S. Catholic bishops, accompanied by bishops from Japan and South Korea, including U.S. Cardinals Blaise Cupich of Chicago and Robert McElroy of Washington, D.C. They released a statement condemning all wars and conflicts and the use and possession of nuclear weapons. Concern is deepening over the plight of an Irish missionary and eight other people, including a child, who have been kidnapped by gunmen in Haiti. James Blaise has this report.
Gina Herity, who runs the St. Helene orphanage near to Haiti's capital, Port-au-Prince, was kidnapped on Sunday along with a three-year-old child and seven of her staff. The orphanage cares for more than 200 children and is renowned for its kind, loving and dedicated work. Authorities say the kidnappers broke through an outer wall and then headed straight for the main building in the compound, executing a carefully crafted plan. Gina Herity has been on her mission in Haiti since 1993, helping young and often vulnerable children. Fully aware of the deteriorating situation, the crisis and the risks involved, she bravely said, "The children are why I'm still here. I've no intention whatsoever of leaving because we're all in this together." Lawlessness and gang violence plague the Western Hemisphere's poorest nation. The United Nations says that more than 80% of the capital, Port-au-Prince, is under the stranglehold control of street gangs and organized crime. Kidnapping is an everyday, commonplace crime in Haiti to gain large sums of cash rapidly for guns and other equipment. Nations, especially those in the Caribbean, have sent police officers to Haiti to bolster its fragile security forces, but no major nation has yet offered a troop reinforcement to form a peacekeeping operation. Haiti wants to hold presidential elections, but this isn't currently possible due to widespread instability. For Vatican Radio, James Blair's reporting.
United Nations Assistant Secretary General Miroslav Jenka has warned that plans for an Israeli takeover of the Gaza Strip would risk catastrophic consequences. With the latest is Christopher Wells.
Reports that Israel is considering expanding military operations in Gaza, including the possibility of taking over the Palestinian enclave, are deeply alarming, if true, the UN said on Tuesday. Speaking at a meeting of the UN Security Council, UN Assistant Secretary General Miroslav Jenka warned that such a move would risk catastrophic consequences and could further endanger the lives of hostages still held by Hamas. He added, international law is clear in this regard. Gaza is and must remain an integral part of the future Palestinian state. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is said to be in favor of a plan that would see the Israeli military assume complete control of Gaza as part of a new strategy for the nearly two-year-old war. Prominent Israeli leaders, including former leaders of Israel's security service, spy agency, and military establishment, have spoken out against the idea of an increased military presence. Yoram Cohen, the former head of Israel's Shin Bet intelligence agency, described Netanyahu's stated objectives for Gaza as a fantasy, saying, if anyone imagines that we can reach every terrorist and every pit and every weapon and in parallel bring our hostages home, I think it is impossible. Meanwhile, health officials in Gaza claimed 45 people were killed on Tuesday when Israeli forces opened fire on Palestinians seeking aid in central and southern Gaza. Israel has not responded to the latest allegations. Since May, several hundred people have been killed by Israeli forces while approaching food distribution sites, according to reports from eyewitnesses, local health officials, and the UN Human Rights Office. Humanitarian aid agencies have warned of famine in Gaza, saying Israel has made it almost impossible to deliver sufficient food and water to Gaza residents. I'm Christopher Wells.
Meanwhile, a deepening humanitarian crisis is displacing millions in Sudan. Disease is spreading and famine is rising, and there seems to be no sign of peace in sight. As Francesca Merlo reports, the people of Sudan are desperate, and despite this, the international community is doing little to help.
In Sudan's North Darfur region, the humanitarian crisis, specifically in El Fasher, is deepening by the day. After more than 2 months under siege by the paramilitary rapid support forces, or RSF, the city is running out of food, clean water and medicine. It is the last urban centre in Darfur under army control, and now one of the most desperate. Families trapped in El Fasher have been forced to survive on animal fodder, including ambaz, a coarse feed made from peanut shells, originally meant for livestock. Many rely on a single daily meal provided by charity-run kitchens, but even these limited supplies are running dangerously low. The UN-backed Integrated Food Security Phase classification has warned that parts of El Fasher have reached IPC Phase 5, the highest level of food insecurity, signalling full-scale famine. 638,000 people across Sudan are classified in IPC Phase 5, whilst another 8.1 million are in IPC Phase 4, meaning in emergency conditions. With no way in or out, aid is not reaching those who need it most, and food prices for smuggled goods have soared to more than five times the national average. At the same time, a cholera outbreak is spreading across the region. Over 4,000 cases have been recorded in North Darfur, with at least 191 deaths. The outbreak, first detected in Tawila in June, has now spread to overcrowded displacement camps in Niala and surrounding areas. Aid groups say poor sanitation, hunger and the rainy season are making conditions worse, and medical facilities are overwhelmed and under-resourced. The conflict, which began in April of 2023, has now displaced nearly 13 million people and killed tens of thousands. And El Fasher is on the front lines of the fighting and of a collapsed humanitarian system. However, for some reason, it is tucked away, hidden, forgotten by the rest of the world. I'm Francesca Merlo.
And in one last bit of world news, Hezbollah, the Lebanese militant group, has today sharply criticised the Lebanese government's decision to begin a process aiming to disarm it before the end of the year. Hezbollah said that the government plan is in neighbouring Israel's interests. The group also said in a statement that it is ready for dialogue over its weapons and added that the Lebanese government should work on liberating areas of the country's south that are still occupied by Israel. On Tuesday, the Lebanese government said asked the country's army to prepare a plan in which only state institutions will have weapons by the end of the year. Hezbollah is also a major Shiite political party that runs a wide network of social institutions, and Lebanon's political system is based on sectarian power sharing, where key government positions are allocated among the country's major religious groups. The president must be a Maronite Christian, the prime minister a Sunni Muslim, and the speaker of the parliament a Shia Muslim. During his first Wednesday general audience in August, Pope Leo XIV today chose to reflect on the mystery of the passion, death and resurrection of Jesus. He invited everyone to meditate on the word prepare, which he said holds a precious secret of the Christian life. Using St. Mark's Gospel, the reading from St. Mark's Gospel that was read out at the beginning of the audience, the Pope reflected on the preparation for the Passover, contemplating the symbolic answer that Jesus gave to the disciples when asked if they should prepare for the feast. Kelsey Gussie tells us more.
A man with a jar, a room already prepared, and an unknown host. Jesus had already arranged everything for his disciples. In his catechesis, Pope Leo explained this shows that true love is not a result of chance, but of a conscious choice. Jesus' decision to endure his passion is an example of this choice to love freely and not a sudden impulse. Continuing with the symbolism, the room which had already been prepared reveals that God paves the way for us. Before we realize we need to be welcomed, the Lord has already prepared a place for us, where we can recognize ourselves and feel we are his friends.
Ancor prima che ci rendiamo conto di avere bisogno di accoglienza, il Signore ha già preparato per noi uno spazio dove riconoscerci e sentirci suoi amici.
Even though Jesus had already arranged everything for the Passover in the Gospel, he still asked the apostles to do their part. The Pope argued this can teach us an essential lesson for our spiritual life, that grace does not eliminate our freedom, but rather it awakens it. Pope Leo reminded everyone that we too have a supper to prepare. Beyond the liturgy, the Eucharist has a place in our daily lives. The Pope urged removing things in our lives that hold us back, but he also warned against believing that being prepared means being deluded. This does not mean only preparing for Mass, but also for moments in our daily lives. We need to ask ourselves where we need to change to welcome the Lord and what we need to prepare today.
Possiamo allora chiederci, quali spazi nella mia vita ho bisogno di riordinare perché siano pronti ad accogliere il Signore?
And when we decide to take on God's call to prepare for communion with him, we will not be alone, the Pope stressed. Rather, he said we will discover we're surrounded by signs, encounters, and words that guide us towards that room, spacious and already prepared for us. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
That's all we've got time for on this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on all of these stories, you can visit our website at vaticannews.va. You can also get the latest updates on our Facebook, X and Instagram pages. Just search Vatican News. Many thanks go to Daniela Giorgi in the studio in the Vatican. I'm Joseph Tullock. Goodbye.